Father, I want to thank you for your love and your goodness to us. And as the song that Abby just sang to us reminded us, it is our faith that is often shaken. It is we who have moved, but you are always there. And may you continue to work within our lives and teach us that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think this morning a little bit about an individual that first comes to know the Lord, and the trials and the difficulties and the hardships, the misunderstandings, the confusion, and the doubts that go with all of that. I don't know how many of you are up on some of the latest news going on in Christian circles, but Kanye West is someone that's being talked about an awful lot, and I had a little insert in your bulletin. I really don't know much about Kanye West, other than he's got quite a history. He's got a lifestyle that brings a lot of question, but now he is professing to know Christ as Lord and Savior, and some of the stuff that's going on, I can relate to. Because I was one of those guys that came from a background that when I said I had come to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, there were an awful lot of people that were saying, yeah, right. One of my drinking buddies, you've heard me say, told me that, Keith, what you've done, you just caught a cold. You'll get over it. This Christian life isn't going to stick. You'll never hang in there. Then there was my family. Those of us, those closest enough to me to know me and understood all there was to know about me that began to doubt and to wonder. And so I know that there is that. And maybe that was you. Maybe your background is such that when you came to that point in your life where you said that you have decided to turn from your old ways and put Christ first, that maybe there were those that questioned you. Well, I want us to think about that this morning, because when all the dust settles, whether we grow or whether we don't grow, it has all to do with the last hymn we sang. Do we really love him? You see, Christian growth, is we're going to see in Ruth here, has really nothing to do with everything that's around us. It has everything to do with whether we love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. That is truly the key, and we'll see that this morning. But when it comes to new believers, young believers, I want us to think about this morning, because as we look through the scriptures and we look through history, God has used the youth. And when I say youth, I mean that in two ways. I mean that in age, those who are young, as well as those who are just brand new believers. They are youth in the sense of their Christian walk, their Christian journey, as we just saw. But let me give you some examples. Joseph was a teenager, but he had the faith of a giant. He went through nearly 30 years of confusion, wondering what God was doing, but he had the faith of a giant. David was just a young boy when he was anointed to be the next king and fought Goliath. Nobody believed that he could do what he did. Everybody doubted him and his faith. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were only teenagers when they taught Babylon about our God and about their faith and their strength. Josiah was crowned king of Judah when he was only 8 years old, but he had a heart to do that was right in the eyes of God. Mary was just a teenager when the Holy Spirit came to her, and she was conceived with the Lord Jesus. The world was turned upside down with uneducated disciples who were nobodies. The early church was led by very young believers. We see the church rapidly establishing there in the New Testament, and most of those individuals were very young in their faith. Timothy was younger than most when he entered into the ministry. How about Charles Spurgeon? He had a lack of college degree, but it was no hindrance to him. His remarkable preaching career began in 1850 when he was only 15 years old. Now, can you imagine, even in our own culture, if a 15-year-old individual said he felt called to the ministry, had no background, no education, and he got behind the pulpit and began preaching? God has used the youth of the past, and that's what we're going to see in Ruth this morning. So take your Bibles, go with me to Ruth chapter 2. The vibrant faith of the youth of a young believer can impact the doubting Thomas in us, in all of us. Ruth chapter 2. We've read some of this. I'm going to kind of briefly work down through this. But I want to start in verse 5. Ruth chapter 2, Boaz has come on the scene. We looked at this yesterday or last week, but I want to put it all in picture as we finish out the chapter. So in verse 5, Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? He's not asking, who is she? He wants to know who she belongs to. Who does she belong to? What clan is she from? Verse 6, so the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and she has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. So the servant says, you know, she's that foreigner. She's not one of us. She came back from Naomi. But one thing I can tell you, she works like a dog, is what he said. Then we go on. Verse 8, and Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessel and drink from what the young men have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully revealed to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and your mother, and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work in full reward, be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. And she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. What we've got here is Boaz spoke to her in such a way that this young woman probably had never been spoken to before. He speaks with kindness. He speaks with grace. He speaks with generosity. Coming from her background, she had probably never heard such kind words in all of her life, and she is touched by it. Verse 14, now Boaz said to her at the mealtime, come here and eat of the bread. Dip your piece of bread in the vinegar, parched grain to her. And she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And let grain from the bundles you purposely, and let grain from your bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned from the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went to the city. And her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back, and she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. And she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Verse 20. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness of the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, the man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth the Moabite said, he also said to me, you shall stay close to my young women until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young woman and that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close to the young men of Boaz and gleaned until the end of barley season and wheat season, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Quite a story. Ruth has come to this strange land, and she's gleaning in the field, and Boaz comes along the scene, and he sees what's going on. What I said last week was that God is not looking to make our lives comfortable. We want to be comfortable. We want everything to fall into place. We want all the eggs to be in a row. We want to know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't want any surprises. But God does not want us to be comfortable. He wants us to be conformable more and more into the image of His Son. But while we seek to be comfortable, we want everything to go right. And when things don't go right, we get irritated and agitated, and we get angry and we get bitter, and our Christian walk begins to go like this, rather than become conformable. That's what we're seeing is happening here. So we have three prominent individuals in this biblical account. We have Naomi. Up until this point, Naomi has been a believer for years, but full of bitterness. She is an individual that was probably brought up in the faith. That's what the Jewish families did. So she was brought up in the faith. She understood the faith. She understood the history. She knows how God works. But nevertheless, when things went sour on her, she went sour towards God, even though she had been a believer for years. We have Ruth, a very young believer and full of faith. Where do we trace that? What we're seeing in this young woman, where in the world does that faith come from? Well, it came from her in-laws. No. There was nothing in her in-laws that showed any of this. They went to Moab in rebellion against God. They left everything that they should have stood for. So it certainly wasn't her in-laws that she found this great faith in which she followed, though she heard of the God of Israel through them. It must have been her devotional life and her Bible study group, right? No. Moab wouldn't have had any Bible studies going on there, and Ruth didn't even have a Bible of her own. Do you realize how blessed we are? You have Bibles. We have a church. We can come together. Ruth didn't have any of that. So where in the world did this love and devotion come from? Well, it came from her love for God. Then we've got Boaz, who is a mature believer who's full of grace. So these are the three individuals that we find in the chapter that's before us. And I could ask the question, which of these best describes me? Am I a believer that's been a believer for years, and yet my testimony is far from what it ought to be? I'm still wondering what God is trying to do. My life hasn't been what I thought it was going to be. Do I resemble Naomi? Some of us here are very young in the faith. But even young in the faith, we should be full of faith. It's to grow and to love Him and to serve Him and to know more about Him and to be grateful and to show Him our gratefulness by our life and our faith and our hope. Or are we like Boaz, who's not only a mature believer, but he's full of grace and full of faith, full of kindness, full of generosity. So what appears to be chance here, and everything that we've read in this book, there is no chance whatsoever. It was God working behind the scene to bring this about. So Ruth ends up in the field that belongs to Boaz. Boaz takes interest in her, and the rest of the story is unfolding before us. Ruth is another example of a mature faith at a young age. What had Boaz learned about this young woman? She was a Moabitess. She's not one of us. She wasn't brought up in the Jewish faith. She is brought up with other gods in another land. She is a foreigner. She moved from Moab with Naomi. Big step. She was humble and polite when asking for permission to glean. She didn't take it as if she had a right simply because of her poverty. She wanted to make sure that it was okay if she gleaned in these fields. She went in the field and she worked steadily from morning, except for a short rest in the shelter. She worked hard. This was hard work. This wasn't easy work. But she applied herself the best that she could to do the best that she could. She had done all of this for her mother-in-law since the death of her husband. She left her father, her mother, and her gods. And she had left her homeland to live with the people she did not know before. How many young ladies do you run into like this? Ruth was an odd duck. And can I say it's oftentimes an odd duck today when a young believer takes God seriously, and their life is radically changed, not just for a moment, not just for a prayer, but for the next day, and for the next week, and for the next month, and for the next year, for the next decade. Their life is continually growing and maturing. Ruth got off on a right start. Boaz speaks to Ruth with words of kindness and grace like she may have never heard before, as I mentioned. Warren Wiersbe said, the only reason all of this has happened The reason Boaz was so kind and so gracious and all of that, Warren Wiersbe says this all happened to Ruth because of her faith in the God of Israel. Boaz saw something happening in this young woman, and he could not deny that God's hand was upon her. There was a testimony here that just shined of God's goodness and God's greatness. Look at verse 18 and 19. This is where things begin to change with Naomi. Verses 18 and 19, it says, "Then she took up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied." This was the meal that they had. "And her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed is the one who took notice of you.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked. And she said, 'The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz.'" And Naomi just went, whoo. What happened? She went from bitter to better. She went from grumpy to joy. She went from bitterness to blessedness. She went from despair to hope. Has God changed? No. No. But I think at this particular point, as we saw last week, Naomi had hit rock bottom. She had no other options. She had hit rock bottom. She was now those who are poor and in need, and she sends her daughter-in-law to glean with the rest of those who have no hope. But now God began to work. And Naomi's eyes just went, whoa. The God of Israel does care. The God of Israel does love. He has taken note of me. And can I just say to everyone here, I don't know what you're going through, but there's a purpose. Remember what we've been looking at the last few weeks? There's nothing that crosses your plate. There's nothing that comes into your life. There is nothing that you have to deal with that hasn't first gone through the hands of the permissive God. And so he has allowed you to be where you are. He is allowing you to go through what you're going through. He is allowing this, not to push you away, but to cause your heart to melt to where you come to him and say, "Oh God, I don't understand what you're doing, but I believe your word. And you have made promises in there for your children. And you have said that all things do work together for good. I don't like this. I'm not comfortable with this. But I'm willing to conform that you may have your way in me." And Naomi is finally coming to that point. And what brought her to this point? It was the faith and the obedience of Ruth. Are you seeing that? It was the faith and obedience of this young lady who is new in the faith, who seems to have the faith of a giant, that is able to look at all the obstacles in life, and yet she is willing to follow the God of Israel. And this young woman now has touched the life of Naomi. May we all be used of God in that way, to touch the life of someone else. Warren Wiersbe again says, "As a near relative, Boaz could redeem the family property that Elimelech had mortgaged when he took his family to Moab. Naomi wasn't wealthy enough to redeem it, but Boaz could buy it back and keep it in the family. The wife of the deceased went with the property. Therefore, the family redeemer had to marry her and bring up her children bearing the name of the deceased. They would then inherit the property, and the family name and the family possessions would continue to be theirs." That is what Naomi is starting to see. Even though she had lost her husband, even though she had lost her sons, the family name looked like it was over with. But now God is beginning to work in such a way that maybe there is hope. Maybe he can bring something out of this. Maybe all this pain and suffering is just a way in which God can glorify himself through me. And Naomi's beginning to see that. And each of us need to be willing to come to that point in our life where we trust him. We trust him. And we allow him to have his way. The psalmist was one who was honest and say, oh God, search me, and know if there be any wicked thing yet in me. So the psalmist probably would have thought he was okay. He would have thought his life was fine, but he was willing that God would examine him and help him to see anything that still needed to go, that he might be all that God would want him to be. And each of us should have that same desire in our lives. Just another quote from Warren Wiersbe that I thought was worth putting in here. He says in his ministry, in his time, he said, I find that many people are miserable because they don't obey the admonition of Hebrews 12:2, which tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. They spend much of their time looking at themselves, looking at their circumstances, looking at other people, that they fail to do what Ruth did, namely, center the attention on their master. Instead of resting in his perfections, they focus on their imperfections. Instead of seeing his spiritual riches, they complain about their bankruptcy. They go to church to get their needs met. Let that one sit for a second. They go to church to get their needs met instead of going to church to worship the God who is greater than any need. Quite a statement. So we need to remember, when we're young, God sometimes uses the youth to confound the wise. Sometimes he takes that new believer to accomplish great things that the older believers should have had taken care of a long time ago, and they just never have. Your walk talks, your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Did you catch all that? If you would, real quickly, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. I want to use this to encourage all of you that are young in the faith, but I also want to encourage us that are older in the faith to realize our responsibility is the same. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, everything you say, everything that comes out of your mouth, let it be an example. Let it speak of God and his grace. Let it speak of God and his mercy. May your words show that grace and that mercy. He goes on, in conduct, in the way you live your life. Live your life in such a way that people have no doubt where your love, your devotion lies. Let them see that Jesus Christ is first and foremost. He is the most important thing to you, and you will serve him, honor him, and glorify him in all that you do, in all that you say. Your conduct. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example in love. The way you love individuals, you show the love of God. You don't respond in anger. You don't respond in hatred. You respond in love. Be an example. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example in spirit and in faith and in purity. That's the call that God has given to us. And the young believers are supposed to respond in the same way. You remember, Timothy had a lot against him. He was very young. He was young in the physical age. He was young in the faith. And yet Paul is calling him to be an example that he might teach the elderly, even those who have been believers longer. What it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might. So, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to all believers in speech, in life, in love, and in faith, and in purity. It's just all up to us. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, where are you on this journey? Maybe God is working in your life. Maybe you're finding that life's not very comfortable right now. Well, God's at work. Nothing's crossing your plate that he hasn't first said okay to. And he's using it to try to bring you to him, closer to him, to love him, to trust him. Maybe you're here and you don't even know Christ yet. You need that relationship. How in the world can you face life apart from knowing you're in the hands of a God who's in control, And maybe today is the day that you just commit yourself to him and say, oh God, forgive me. I want to be your child, and I know that Christ is my only hope, and I want him to be in my life. But those of us that are believers, maybe it's time to just say, Lord, I want to shine. I want to be an example to all believers in all these areas. Father, thank you for this text. Thank you for the example of Ruth. Thank you for the impact that she is making in her world, the impact that she's making in Boaz's life, the impact that she is making with all the other gleaners who see her working hard and those that supervise all of that, the example that she is to Naomi, who should have been mentoring her. Oh, God, we need those individuals in our churches. And I would pray that you would help each of us here at Central to desire and to strive to be that individual that you can use to impact the lives of all of those that are around us. You know where we are in this journey. And may we look at today as a new slate, a new opportunity, a day to change, to become more like our Savior. We can't change yesterday, but we can change the rest of today and every tomorrow that comes our way. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.